Luke chapter 6, verse number 46. The Bible says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Read all the scripture ahead of time. Matthew chapter 7. And I've just got a simple lesson this morning on the man that built his house upon a rock. I probably won't tell you anything new, but it's just something that was a blessing to me whenever I studied it out and looked at it, and we're just going to preach on that today. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Sunday school and the chance to open your word. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity for me to be here. I pray and ask that you fill my mind with wisdom and fill my heart with strength. And God, Lord, help me to help somebody today. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. So if you'll turn back, I'm going to be taking most of my scripture out of Luke chapter 6. Anything else that we turn to, I'll let you know. But, you know, Jesus, this is when he went up into the mountain. He went up, the multitudes were following him, and he taught the multitudes. He went up into a mountain, and this is where we get the Beatitudes. The ye are the light of the world. First mention of hell, divorce, you know, going the extra mile, love your enemies, you know, pray for your enemies, the model prayer, laying up treasures in heaven. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the way, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. You know, this is where Jesus, he's giving very practical instruction. Just like Brother Reiser has been coming up here and giving very practical teaching out of the book of Proverbs. That's practical teachings from the Old Testament. And you know what? Here is Jesus. He's giving us practical teachings from the New Testament. He's teaching us as God would have taught us. And he's telling us, listen, you know what? If somebody tells you to go a mile, go the extra mile. You know what? If somebody, you know, if blessed are the peacemakers, for ye shall have peace. Blessed are the meek, for ye shall inherit the earth. And these are very simple things, and he's teaching the disciples. And, you know, in fact, if you look in Luke chapter 7, it even says, "Now when he had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum." And, you know what? And in Matthew, it even says that he came down out of the mountain. So this is the end of Jesus going up into the mountain teaching. After this, he starts going visiting. He starts doing the miracles, and he's taking his disciples with him. He chose the 12. If you look in Luke chapter 6, verse number 12, and it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So this is where it all really began. This is where, you know, Jesus, he got everything together. He did the teaching. He chose his disciples. And so here at the end of all of this, he tells probably what I consider my favorite parable, but maybe the most important parable of Christ at the end of all this teaching is the parable of the man who built his house upon a rock. And so really, we've got two men. And you know what? It doesn't tell us what kind of men they were, what kind of house they built, but we can almost assume that they're similar. You know, they both wanted to build a house. They both had the skill to build the house. And it says that, you know what? The one man, he was a wise man, and he built the house, but before he did that, he digged deep, and then he laid a foundation on a rock. And then, when the floods came, the streams came, after he'd built his house, the house stood firm. The other man, he didn't want to do that. You know what? He just went and he built his house upon sand. He didn't dig deep. He didn't lay a foundation. He just built the house. You know what? The houses could have been very similar, but when the floods came and the streams beat vehemently upon it, the winds beat vehemently upon the house, it fell immediately. You know what? Jesus said that we are the man in the story. We are either the wise man or the foolish man. You might be like, Brother Jesse, you know, this is a kid's story. You know, this is, you know, the 40 and up, 40 and smarter adult Sunday school class. But you know what? Looking at my dad's life and my mom's life and, I mean, the life of the folks that we visit on a day-to-day basis, I mean, really, this was a grown man who built his house. I mean, let's be honest. Brother Jesse, he doesn't have the time or money to build a house right now. He's too busy building a family. You know what? This was a grown man who had a family established, who had everything in his life established, and he could build a house. He had time. And this is just kind of, a random story. My dad, he tells me stories about my grandpa. I never knew my grandpa. And my grandpa, he was 96 when he passed away, and he passed away in 1997. And so that would mean he was born in 1901. And so I was only about 4 or 5 when he passed away. But my grandpa, he had 10 children. And when he first got married, he wasn't established enough to have his own house. So it was him and his wife, and then they lived with his mom and dad. Which, from what my dad told me, that was a very interesting situation. My grandma and my great-grandpa, they didn't really get along, I guess. And one day, grandma, she fixed a really good meal. And grandpa came in, he's like, my great-grandpa James, he came in, he said, wow, this is really good. Where'd you get this? She said, oh, I went out back and I caught one of your roosters and I butchered it. And I figured if you weren't going to help us feed the family, then I'd just give you the chance to help feed the family. And so she butchered one of his roosters and made fried chicken out of it. And, I mean, it was to the point where, you know, just country people living out down by Carlisle. He had, 3 or 4 kids in the house before they actually finally moved out of the house and got a house of their own. So this is my perspective here. This wise man, he finally was wise enough to say, I need to get out of my mom and dad's house and build a house of my own. And he did it the right way. You know what? Many of you folks, you're established. You know a lot more about life than I do. But let's just look at this, and I hope that I can bring something out of it that'll help you. And I've just got a few points. Number one, it takes we are the man in the story. We're the wise man or the foolish man right now. Jesus said that if you hear what he says and do them, if you come to church, you read your Bible, and you pray, and you listen to what God wants you to do with your life, you are the wise man. But if you come to church, or if you know what the Bible says, and if you come to Sunday school, or if you go to church anywhere, or at all, or hear anything, or read the Bible, or pray, you know what, and you don't do what the Lord wants you to do, you're the foolish man. I mean, let me point out the first thing. You know what, it takes work to develop a walk with God, and to be the wise man. You know what, to do what Jesus says, to hear it, and to do it, that's a walk with God. You know what? That's praying and reading your Bible every day. That's coming to church when the doors are open. You're spending time with the Lord. I mean, throughout the day when you're at work, throughout the day while you're at home and doing things. You know what? It takes work to develop a walk with God. I wanted to look at Luke chapter 6 for one reason and one reason only. It says in verse 48, it says, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. This man, he had 3 steps to building his house. He said, first thing is we need to dig out. You know what? He could have built his house where the sand was. But it didn't matter because he dug deep before he started building his house. He dug until he found the rock, until he found where the foundation was going to be laid. And then he laid the foundation, made it sure, and then he built his house. But if you look in verse number 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house is great. Literally, the wise man did 2 more steps than the foolish man. He did about 3 times as much work. And you know what? Coming to church and having a walk with God, it's going to be hard work. You know what? There's going to be things that are going to try to stop us from doing that, stop us from walking with God. You know, I'm always amazed when I start reading in Genesis and start reading in Exodus about these people. They had walk with God for hundreds of years. You know, it talks about Methuselah, and it talks about Enoch, and it talks, you know, Enoch, he walked with God for 300 years, I mean, without distraction, without delay. It wasn't, you know, Enoch walked with God for 150 years, and then he took a break for 100 years, and then for 150 more years he walked with God. You know what? It says that he walked with God straight for 300 years. He was faithful, but it was hard work. I can guarantee you that. You know what? And today, it's going to be hard work for us to have a walk with God with all the modern distractions, all of the things in our lives. I mean, Dad, when my dad was born, he was born to a family of 10. He was the youngest. They didn't have any air conditioner. Dad, the first thing Dad always told me whenever I got old enough, you know, where we just talked, he said, you know what? He's like, thank God for air conditioner. He's like, I will never, ever live in a house without air conditioner. He's like, you know what? Thank God for modern heating. He said, you know what? I grew up in the upstairs, and you know what? I used to just lay and sweat at night during the summer because there was no air conditioning. You know, and my dad, he's the kind of guy, he walks outside and he starts sweating. I mean, it doesn't even matter. I mean, if he does a brisk walk in the winter, he starts sweating. You know, he's just the kind of guy, he sweats a lot. But you know what? He talked about that wood burner, and some of you folks still have wood burners, but I guarantee you it's probably not like the wood burner Dad had. Some of you may remember those wood burners, where it's just a big metal box in the living room with a pipe that, you know, went up. And you know what? He said, you know what, people, my dad, he was talking about, he's like, you know, I think cigarette smoke's bad, but you know what? I still remember getting all that smoke from that wood burner flying in my face. He's like, you know what? That was the worst. You know what? Dad, he would tell me about all these things, and, you know, there's a lot of modern things that we have now that just are distractions. I love my cell phone, but you know what? If I'm not careful, every 30 minutes, I'm like pulling that thing out of my pocket and looking at it, and, you know, oh, you know, I what time is it? I need to know what time it is. You know, it's 9:30. You know, what time is it now? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Okay, I need to know what time it is. Where's my phone? Where's the clock? I need to know. You know what? You think, you know, well, you know, now that we have cars and electricity, everything's so much simpler. But you know what? You got to make sure that you pay the electricity bill. You got to make sure that all the wires are ran right. And you know what? I just had to fix my dryer. I mean, that's, you know, if my wife would just put up a clothesline, I wouldn't have to dry my clothes in a dryer. You know, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to her about that. You know what? You start working on your car, and you know, you got suspension and you got electronics that need to be done. There's a lot of things that are going to distract you from working hard at having a walk with God. You're like, well, I'd love to work hard and have a walk with God, but you know what? My flesh is constantly battling me. I'm just too tired. I don't have time. I just don't want to get up that early. You know what? Romans 7, 21 and 22 says this, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. You know what? It's always going to fight you, folks. Having a walk with God is going to be hard. And you know what? It's going to fight you. Your flesh is. I mean, you're going to be getting tired. You're going to not want to do it. But you know what? If we work hard, we could have what this wise man had. You know what? The devil is going to constantly try to distract you from having a walk with God. Ephesians 6, 12 and 16 says this, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 Peter 5:8, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know what? The devil's going to try to distract us from having a walk with God. It's going to be three times as hard for you to be the wise man and build your house that's going to stand against the storms as it is to be the foolish man and just go about life and I don't have time to do this or I don't have time to give to that. You know what? I've met men of God, and I'll be honest, I'm not one of those men of God that's like, I pray 10 hours every day. Every day I get down to my office, I pray 10 hours. You know what? It's hard. I fight it. You know, I understand. I'm not trying to tell you guys to do something that, you know, I'm not struggling with. I struggle with it. You know what? The devil's going to try to distract me. The flesh that I have is going to try to fight against me. But you know what? If I can work three times as harder, I can guarantee that my wife and my baby girl will have the life that the wise man had. He didn't have to worry about his house getting blown down. He didn't have to check the weather all the time to see if the storm was coming, to see if they needed to find shelter somewhere else. That's the kind of life that I want to give my family. You know what? I may not get there. Lord willing, I may someday have grandkids. I think it's just amazing the light that comes into my parents' eyes whenever that I bring Sarah over. It's like they don't even love me anymore. They just want to have my baby over. They're like, you know what? You know, hey, bud, how are you doing? You know, my dad is like, hey, bud. And he's like, oh, well, hey, baby girl. And he gets down there and he's holding Sarah and he's talking to her. And I'm just standing there like, you know, what am I now? Chopped liver, you know? You know, but you know what? My dad, there's a certain love that you don't understand about children until you have them. And I'm learning about that. And I know for a fact that there's a certain love that you don't understand about grandchildren until you have them. And I don't understand that yet. But I know it's there. I can see it in my mom's eyes. My mom, she's already had 6 or 7 grandchildren. And I bring Sarah over and she's just all about it. You know what? It never changes. You know what? But I want to give my children and someday lay a foundation for my grandchildren, Lord willing, that I might have, that they could have that security of the house that's founded upon a rock, of that sureness. You know what? I had to work hard. I had to do 3 times as much work, but I dug deep. I laid a foundation. I built my house upon a rock. Are we doing that? Are we putting the extra work in? Are we taking the extra time? And you know, sometimes it's not even just taking the 2 or 3 hours, it's taking the 10 to 15 minutes to put a little extra in. I like what one man told me. He told me, you know what, Jesse, it takes just as long for you to be a nice guy as it does for you to be a jerk. You know what? And it's true. You know, you've seen those jerks, or maybe you've been those jerks. I've been the jerk in the restaurant. It's just like, what are you doing? This isn't right. And you know what? It takes you twice as long if you have to send something back to the kitchen if you just would have been okay with something. And I'm not saying, you know, you should never send something back to the kitchen. But you know what? It's just the illustration that I have. You know what? If you send something back to the kitchen because you don't like it, it's going to take you longer to get it. Or even if you're nice about it, it's going to take them just as long to cook that steak again or to fix that plate again. Or you know what? Which maybe y'all are just thinking, Brother Jesse, if you just cooked more at home, you wouldn't have to worry about sending it back to the kitchen. Because you guys know my wife. If I tried to send something back to that kitchen, it wouldn't come back out. She'd be like, all right, yeah, I'll go take care of it. She'd take it to the kitchen, and then she wouldn't come back. She'd be like, yeah, he's just going to be hungry today if he's going to play about my cooking. But you know what? We're going to have to work harder. Work harder to have a regular walk with God. You know what? The storms of life, it says here in Luke 48, it says that he, like a man which built a house, dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And over in, while I talk, I'm going to flip back over to Matthew, but you know what? We are the wise man or the foolish man. Our walk with God is going to be the house that we make, the foundation that we lay. That's your walk with God. You know what? And the storms of life, that is all the troubles that are going to come. All the fights that are going to come. You know, the people that pass away in your life, the friends that abandon you. You know, it's the typical story of Job. You know, Job, he faced these storms. This is really his life. He founded his life. He dug deep. He laid the foundation of his life on a rock. And you know what? He withstood all of the torture. He withstood the devil coming and taking his family away. He withstood the devil coming and taking his health away. He withstood it all because he had a foundation on a rock. You're like, well, Jesse, he complained. Yeah, he did complain. But you know what? He could have committed suicide. He could have just picked up and left. Just left everything. Left his friends. Left his wife. Left what he had left just right there and just started a new life. But he didn't. He stood still. He sat there. He waited on the Lord. You know what? The regular storms of life will test your walk with God. That's what they're coming for. You're like, why did God do this to me? It's not always why God did it to you. Preacher, he's teaching on temptation right now. And you know what? He told us. He's like, you know what? God, he's not the one that does the evil things. He's not the one that sends the evil temptations into your life. That's the devil. And you know why the devil wants to do that? Because he wants to shake you. He wants to see if you're founded upon a rock. You know what? He's there to test your faith. Those regular storms, they're going to come. It was no surprise to this wise man that the storms were going to come. It was no surprise to this foolish man that the storms were going to come. They both knew the area, I'm sure, before they built their houses. And in Matthew chapter 7, it says this, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Verse 25, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And it says this, in verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let me tell you, the devil is going to put in 3 more times work to try to knock your house over. You know what? He's going to put in the work. You know, it didn't just say, you know what? He went all out. He said, I'm not just going to make it rain and see if it's going to leak or see if it's going to flood. I'm not just going to make the wind blow and see if it's going to fall over or see if something's going to fall out. I'm not just going to have the floods come and beat up against the house. The devil worked 3 times as hard to try to destroy these people's houses. You know why? He knew, you know, Jesus, he's talking to Christians. He knows that you're a Christian. He knows that you've got a certain amount of faith in Jesus Christ. He's going to try 3 times as hard as try to rock your faith, try to knock it over, to to try to shake your house. Folks, let me tell you, if we don't work three times as hard to try to establish our faith, the devil's going to knock us over. He's stronger than us. I mean, he's far more subtle than I am. He's far more wiser than I am. He knows a lot more than I do. And you know what? When he comes against me, he's just going to knock us right over. You know what? It's kind of like some of you guys in here that's got some boys. You know, it's kind of like when your boy starts to get, you know, kind of puffed up. He thinks that just because you're older, you know, he can knock you over. He can get one over on you. But you guys know that, you know, when that teenage boy comes up there and tries to pull some fancy move, you know more than he does. Either you see it coming or you know something that he doesn't know. And that boy, he comes up, maybe tries to trip you. And instead of tripping you, you put him on the ground. You know, or my dad, he used to always, I'd be like, "Dad, man, my arm hurts. Look at this bruise I got." And he'd say, "Oh, well, let me look at that." And he'd squeeze it. He'd be like, "Oh, does that hurt? Is that where that bruise is at?" You know, when I was really little, he'd be like, "Hey, let me see your hand." I'd be like, "Okay." And I'd stick my hand out. He's like, "You want me to show you how to milk a mouse?" I said, "Sure, Dad." And you know what? He knew more than I did. And he'd take my pinky and he'd squeeze it. It'd kind of hurt. You know, then when I got to be a teenager, I'd be like, "All right, old man, you ready to go?" And he'd always show me up. I do not know how he did it. You know what? The devil's like that. He's far more older than anybody in here. He's far more wiser. He's had a lot more experience. He's going to try three times as hard to knock your house over. He's going to try to use all that wisdom and experience to knock your house over. You know what? The Bible says that he is going to try three times as hard. Regular storms of life will test your walk with God. You know what? From all indications, number one is, you know what? It takes work to develop a walk with God. Number two, regular storms of life will test your walk with God. Number three, from all indications, aside from the foundation, the houses were the same. The men were the same. If you just be like driving through town, you really can't tell what houses have a good foundation, or for that matter, what houses have termites. You know, that's where I'm at. My house has termites. It's an older house. So probably when I finally move out of it, it's probably going to fall in after I sell it so that whoever I sell it to can cash in the insurance on it. But, you know what? You can't tell if it's got termites or not until you start looking inside or until you start looking underneath. You know what? These houses, you couldn't tell that the one was just built on the sand. You couldn't tell that the wise man had put in three times as much work to build his house up, to dig deep, to lay the foundation on a rock. You couldn't tell just by looking at it. Now, you might be able to look and say, "Well, that house is prettier because it's got blue shutters." You know, or you might be able to say, "You know, that guy, he's smarter because he used a metal roof on his house. You know, it's going to last a lot longer. It's not going to leak." You know, but this is the fact is that, you know what? It could have had a leaky roof, and when the rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew, the foolish man had a leak in his roof. That wouldn't have been as bad. But you know what? It says it immediately fell. The foundation is crucial, folks. Your foundation is crucial. My foundation is crucial. The way I raise that little baby girl, you know what? The way I make the foundation of her life and try to teach her how to lay the foundation of her life, that's crucial. I mean, from an infant, you know, what does the Bible say? Chasing them betimes, you know, early, you know, chasing them while they're young. I mean, Pastor Ross taught that. I mean, Pastor Jerry Ross taught that. Pastor Robert Ross taught that. And you know what? I believe in it, you know. My dad, I always talked to him. I said, "Dad, I don't remember you spanking me a lot. I remember you spanking me." I mean, those are unforgettable. You know, there's one time that you remember your dad really laying into you. I remember that. And, you know, I've told those stories from the pulpit. I remember my aunt. I have two aunts that I remember spanking me. And I have one cousin who tried to spank me, but it wasn't that bad. Don't tell her. But she didn't really get me. But you know what? He said, "Son, what I decided to do is," he said, "you know what? Most of my spankings that I gave you, you weren't old enough to remember them." You know what? He laid that foundation early. We do that with our kids. You, some of you grandparents, you know what? You spoil those kids of yours, and you don't treat them like they're, you know, like you did your kids. But you know what? You try to lay a good foundation for them. You teach them to obey. You say, "Listen, you know what? Grandpa might give you candy, but he's going to give you the candy. Don't be getting into the candy jar while we're not here. Don't be taking all that candy and eating it unless we tell you." You know, folks are giving out candy around the church, and kids are running up and grabbing candy. And I hear moms and dads all the time, "Hey, give me the candy." And that kid looks at the candy, look at their dad. "No, give me the candy." And the kid has to hand it over, and they're making a pouty face. You know what? Just like we raise our kids to have foundation, you know what? These houses, they look the same. A lot of these kids, they run around, they all look so cute and adorable and innocent. But you know what? If we don't lay the right foundation, they're going to be those kids that may end up on TV. You know, they may be those kids that end up in juvie. I mean, I've got brothers. I've got three different brothers. I've got one brother, my oldest. He ended up going, and he didn't get a college degree. He wanted to become a labor foreman. Works hard to become a labor foreman. The one he decided that he's working and working, and one day, I mean, he's already grown and he didn't go to college. He decided, I want to go and serve in the army. And then one of my brothers, he didn't really have much chance about going to college or not because he decided to get in trouble when he was in high school. He ended up going to juvie, ended up going to prison. You know what? My brothers, they have different dads. Our different dads laid a different foundation. You know what? And that determined what happened to their lives. You know what? Whatever foundation, you might be like, Brother Jesse, I can't. You know what? We can't lay a new foundation now. You can. It's just going to be three times as much work. You know what? You still can lay a foundation. It's just going to take three times as much work. You know what? One thing about my house is I don't know about its foundation. I know it's got termites, but you know what? In my bedroom, if you took a, you know, just took a marble and laid it on the floor, it'd roll to the corner. It'd roll to the inside corner of the room. And my stepdad, he's telling me, you know what? You need to get under there. You need to get in the foundation. You start jacking it up and shimming it up to make sure your house is level. You know what? It's an old house. You can't just pick it up and lay a brand new foundation. But you know what? There's things that you can do to level out your foundation, to make your foundation sure. It's just going to be three times as much work. And folks, I don't have to sit here and tell you, you know, how to do that. You folks have been around. You know how to lay a good foundation. You're under the right preacher. That's why you're here today. You know Pastor Ross is going to take care of you and feed you spiritually. You know what? Luke 6:49, it says, a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. That's the only thing different it says about the house. Without a foundation built a house upon the earth. You know what? The difference between us, the foundation inside of us is our heart. You know what? The Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Whatever's in your heart, whatever foundation you're laying inside of you right here. You know what? Number one, are you saved? You know what? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's very important. And wrapping it up here, you know what? Some spiritual applications. First house was obviously, it was built by a wise man. He not only heard, he acted on what he heard. If you'll turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. But you know what? It says that both these men heard. It's just like the disciples. Every single disciple heard what Jesus taught. But there was one who decided to forsake it all. He didn't want the kingdom of God. He didn't want to be able to walk into Acts chapter 2 and 3 and see 3,000 people saved. It was the disciple who decided that, you know what, I hear the teachings of God. I hear Jesus Christ. I've seen his miracles. I don't want to be like Peter and walk in someday and see the lame man sitting there and say, gold and silver have I none, but what I do have, I give you. Grabs him, yanks him up. Peter performs a miracle just like the Lord Christ did. You know what? They went out in the Gospels, and Jesus said, listen, I give you power over evil spirits. I give you power over infirmities. He said, go forth. You know what? And he went out visiting, and they did miracles. This disciple, Judas, he decided that he didn't want all that. You know, he was the one guy. He was the foolish man. He heard what Christ said. He saw what Christ did. But you got to do it. James chapter 1, verse 23. James chapter 1, verse 23. In fact, let's look at verse 22 first. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the word of God, and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know what? Illustration Brother James uses here is this. You know what? You look in a glass, you look in a mirror, and you see yourself, and you walk away, and you forget what you even looked like. You know what? That's why, ladies, not trying to get on you ladies, but that's why you carry a mirror in your purse. You always want to check, well, did something happen to mess my hair up? Did something happen to my makeup? You know what? You know, guys walking around, hey man, come here. You got some dirt on your face. You know, or the really funny one is when you see a mechanic, or like me, when I do mechanic work, which is very amateur mechanic work, I always end up with a bunch of grease on my nose because I'm always pushing my glasses up. And I'm smearing all that grease on my nose with my fingers. You know, or I'm pushing my glasses up and I'm wiping my head like that and I got grease smear all across my forehead. You know why I don't notice it? Because I'm not looking in the mirror when I do it. You know, if I was looking in a mirror and continuing to look in a mirror, just constantly looking, what do I look like? I'd know, oh, I got dirt on my face. I need to go clean that off. oh, I got, you know, I got milk on my mustache, right? I got a milk mustache going on. I need to go clean that off. And you know what? If we don't continue in what the Word of God says, we're going to be like that. Your people are going to walk up and be like, hey, are you all right? And you're going to be like, yeah, why are you asking? What? You know, how's your heart doing today? You know, what's going on? You just don't look very happy. You know, you can always tell when you go into places, you know, just random people. You can see who's happy and who's not happy just by looking at them. You know what, folks? We're the same way. You know what? We need to make sure that we not only hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says, but we're doing it. Because when you're doing it, you're going to be like that man who's looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein. You're going to know what your state is. You're going to be able to see it. You're not just going to walk away and forget, man, what was the preacher talking about? What did he say? You know, that's why Pastor Ross and Brother Reiser and Brother Gordon, they try to make things so practical so you can take it home and you can do it practically. And that way, while you're doing it, you're like, one day you just stop, why am I doing this? And you're like, oh yeah, Brother Gordon preached on this. You know, I've got habits built into my life now. I'm like, why do I do this? It's like, oh, because my dad taught me to do it that way. Or why do I do this? Oh, because I picked that up from my mom. It's a bad habit. I need to drop that one. You know? Why do I do this way? Why does my wife keep getting mad at me? Because I grew up and it was just me and dad and I didn't know how to have a woman in the house. So I got to forget some of the things and I got to pick up some new ones. You know, habits reminding me, why am I doing this? You know what? If we hear the word of God and we do it, we're going to be like that man. We're going to be able to be the wise man who laid his foundation on the rock. And you know, most importantly, and really I just want to talk about this. You folks know where I'm going here. You know what? We're the man. You know, our walk with God is the house, the storms of life. You know what? That's the storms. Those are the problems that come into our life. Of course, Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. You know what? It's not any other man. You know what? I can rely a lot upon my dad, but you know what? He's not Jesus Christ. I can't lean on my dad like I could lean on Jesus Christ. You know what? Praise the Lord that I had a wonderful grandpa who laid some foundation that my dad could get saved, but you know what? I can't rely on him. He can't be the rock to help me withstand the test of time. You know what ends up happening is we build our rock, or we think that we find a rock to build it on, and it's like Peter. It's not a rock, it's just a stone. And you know what, that Peter, you know, maybe we build our life upon Peter. We're like, Brother Peter, he's the man, you know, Brother Peter, he's where I'm gonna build my foundation, I'm gonna base my life on. And you know what happens? Is he gets dumb and he says something dumb, or he does something, you know, that he probably shouldn't have done, and you're like, man, I'm disappointed in Peter. My foundation, I thought it was big enough, and you know what? My house is toppled over because my foundation shifted. Jesus Christ, he's a rock that we can build on. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Psalm 62, verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. You know what, folks? We just need to have a walk with God. A lot of times, it's just as simple as grabbing your Bible in the morning or in the afternoon after you get off work, or at night before you go to bed and reading the Bible, taking some time to pray. 1 Peter 2:2 says this, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word. When I was a kid, I hated milk. But as I get older, you know, I like it. You know what? As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know what? Also meat. 1 Corinthians 3:2, Hebrews 5:12. We can turn to Hebrews 5:12. Let's look what it says. You know what? The Bible, the word of God, the preaching, it's like spiritual food for us, so we can have the strength to do three times more work to lay the right foundation. Hebrews 5:12. Turned right past it. The Bible says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word and righteousness, and for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what? The meat of the word, the milk of the word, it's good for us. It's going to give us that strength we need when you're tired, when you don't feel like going on. You know what? Psalm 55:17 says this, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry loud, and he shall hear my voice. Prayer, you know what? Greatest thing about God is God's always listening. It's not like, you know, I keep using moms and dads as an illustration because God is our Heavenly Father. You know, it's not like a mom or dad, hey, mom's talking, not right now. You know, it's not like the boy tugging at his mom's skirt, hey, mom, and the mom finally gets frustrated. What do you want? It's not like that. God's always there. In the morning, he's there. In the evening, he's there. At noontime, he's there. It doesn't matter if it's lunchtime or nap time or time to go to work. You know, he's always there. You know what? Daniel 6:10 says this. He kneeled upon his knees. Talking about Daniel. three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. You know what? Daniel believed in it so much he staked his life on it. That wise man believed that his foundation would hold so much that he staked his life, his family's life on it. You know what? Where's your foundation today? You know, do you have a walk with God? Are you putting the extra work in that you need to lay the foundation? It's not easy, but you know what? The way of the transgressor is hard. Life's going to be hard either way, so it just depends on what you want the outcome to be. And so thank you for listening today, and I'm going to go ahead and pray and dismiss, and we'll get ready for church. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for these folks. Pray and ask that something I said was a blessing or maybe would remind them of something. God, Lord, we love you. Please, Lord, be with Pastor as he gets ready to preach, and that, Father, every heart of every child, a man and woman, young man and woman, would be, Lord, opened and fertile for your word to come and to plant seeds and to reap fruit, God. Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen.